This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise be unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Lord, our Sustainer, the Creator, the Most Merciful, the Most Kind. La ilaha illallah, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in this waqt of Jumu'ah, to grant that this Jumu'ah be a light, a guidance for the week to come, and a forgiveness of the sins of last week. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us to see the month of Ramadan and experience the full benefit of it. We send our greetings, our love, our salutations to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his family, his companions, and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May we be amongst them. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Jazakallah khair for the warm introduction. And it's always a pleasure to be here at Masjid al-Quds. As Brother Sattar mentioned, we will discuss one of the most difficult, controversial, and interesting topics, which is destiny and free will, qada and qadar, one of the pillars of our iman. And if you were to take Sahih Muslim, the book Sahih Muslim, and you go to hadith number one, chapter number one, very first hadith in Sahih Muslim, you would find this hadith, where two students of the Sahaba, one by the name of Yahya, and the other by the name of Humaid, they came from Iraq. And the people of Iraq, Basra, began discussing the issue of free will and destiny. And they had certain views which were controversial. So they said, let us go to Mecca for Hajj. And perhaps we'll find some of the remaining Sahaba still alive and discuss this issue with them. So they come to Mecca, Yahya and Humaid, radiallahu rahimullah, and they meet none other than Abdullah ibn Umar, the son of Sayyidina Umar. At this time he's an old man, perhaps the most learned scholar on earth. They meet him at the Haram of Mecca. And they said, Ya Abu Abdurrahman, O Father Abdurrahman, we have come from Basra, from a people that recite the Quran, and they study, and they are knowledgeable, but they began talking about qada and qadr, free will and destiny. And they have concluded, one of their views, is that there is no such thing as predestination, that Allah has not ordained the future. In fact, the future is unknown even to Allah because we must still enact it. So Abdullah ibn Umar, the great Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, said, when you go back to Basra, tell them, I am not from them and they are not from me. And my belief and their belief is not the same. And that if they should spend the weight of Mount Uhud in gold and they were to do such good deeds, Allah will not accept from them until they rectify their belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and qadr. And then he narrates a hadith. Then he says, let me tell you a story that my father Sayyidina Umar told me. That once the Sahaba were in the masjid like this. This is the famous hadith that we all know. Sahaba in the masjid, 70 of them. And in walks a stranger. And the people of Medina, they knew each other. And if a stranger comes into the masjid, he's either a traveler or a Bedouin or someone. So this stranger walks into the masjid, shadidul bayda, his clothes are exceedingly white, immaculate, perfectly beautiful clothing, and beautiful hair. He walks into the masjid, and the sahaba around the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but this man, he doesn't sit at the back of the masjid, he comes right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, face to face with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me what is Islam? And the Prophet ﷺ says that Islam is to testify that none has the right to be worshipped but Allah and that I am His messenger, to perform the salah, to pay the zakah, to fast in Ramadan, and to perform hajj once in your life if you are able to do so. And this man says, the stranger says, sadaqt, you've spoken the truth. The Sahaba were shocked. What kind of person asks the question and then says to the Nabi ﷺ, correct? But the man continues. He says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me what is Iman? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we know, said, Iman is to believe in Allah, in His angels, in His books, in His messengers, and in the last day, and to believe in the divine predestination, the qadr of Allah, the good of it and the bad thereof. And then the stranger said once again, Sadaqt, you have spoken the truth, Muhammad. And then he went on to ask other questions, what is Ihsan? Not who is Ihsan, what is Ihsan, what is perfection? And the Prophet ﷺ said, perfection, to be a perfect believer, is to worship Allah as if though you can see Him, see Allah. And if you cannot see Allah, then remember Allah sees you. And then he asked, the man, the stranger asked, tell me, when is Qiyamah going to come? Give me the date. Nabi ﷺ says, neither I nor you know when is Qiyamah. This is with Allah. But of the signs is when the slave girl will give birth to her master, and the Bedouin Arabs will build tall, magnificent buildings. That's the signs of Qiyamah. And the stranger said, Sadaqt, you've spoken the truth. And he got up and he left. And then the Sahaba are shocked. They're sitting here, who is this guy? So the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, who is that? Do you know who that was? Sahaba said, we don't know, who is he? Nabi ﷺ said, that was Jibreel, the angel, in human form, coming to teach you your deen. And the point of the hadith is that of the pillars of Iman, number 6, we know the belief in free will, qada and qadar, the predestination, ordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this you find, hadith number 1 of Sahih Muslim. So as I said, this issue of free will and destiny, of the most controversial issues in Islam and in all religions, how do we understand this? And people have gone to two extremes. The extreme view that Allah ordains everything, and we as insan, as people, we have no say in the matter. We have no free will. This is called jabr, that you are compelled. You were created with a destination of Jannah or Jahannam, and you have no say in the matter. That's one extreme. The other extreme is to say that Allah does not control anything, that you have absolute free will. Your death, your rizq, nothing is put out. Allah has given you complete free will. To the extent where Allah does not even know the future because it has not been determined. This is called, there was a group called the Qadariya. As Muslims, where do we fit in the spectrum? Do we believe that we have complete free will? Or Allah controls everything with us having no free will? Some say they nod their head yes, some shake their head no, some are in between, we're not sure, right? Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, our view, our belief, is we affirm both. That Allah has complete control of everything, yet we also have free will. And let us look at some evidences for this from the Quran and the Sunnah. Let us look at some of the evidences for both sides. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if He had willed, surely He would have given every person His guidance. If it was the will of Allah, every one of us would be guided. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that He creates everything with qadr. Inna khalaqna kulla shay'in biqadr. That everything is created, preordained and predetermined. That everything happens with a decree of Allah. Whatever musibah befalls you, it was written in a book before you were created. And in a hadith in Muslim, another hadith by the Prophet ﷺ, he says, Allah has written the measurements, the qadr, the preordainments of all creatures, of all things, your ordainments, my ordainments, 50,000 years before He created the heavens and the earth. So when we look at these nusus, these hadith and these ayat, it would appear that Allah has ordained everything and we have no say in the matter. And the ulama further mention that Allah knew the future. He knew everything that was, is and will be. And everything that could be, He knows it. And He wrote it in the Lawh al-Mahfuz before He created anything. And of all the possible occurrences, He selected some to occur and some not to occur. And then He created it. So you may look at these ayat and feel, well then where is my input? If Allah had preordained what I would, how I would live, what I would earn, when I would die, whoever wishes belief, then he can get belief. And whoever wishes disbelief, then that's for him as well. لِنَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. That we test you, who of you is best in actions. This affirms that we have belief. Something which all of us find easy to believe, we say, you know, our death is put out for us. Before we were born, Allah already stipulated a day, a time when we would pass away. May Allah grant us to meet that point in a very good manner. Ameen. Yet you find a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you want to increase your rizq, and you want to extend your life, you want to actually prolong, make it longer, go beyond your sell-by date, what must you do? Maintain family ties. Hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. Which shows you have power to even extend your life. So how do we reconcile these two? We said our belief is yes, nothing happens without the permission of Allah. And everything happens as Allah decided, in the manner He decided, as He decreed long before He created us. Yet we also have the ability to influence decree and destiny. So how do we reconcile these two things? It appears contradictory. Point number one, this is a pillar of iman. And we call it iman because we don't have all the facts. The pillars of iman, if you look at all six of them, we don't have all the details. We have some details and we try to get a picture, but understand that these issues are above our pay grade. We're not meant to understand fully how qada and qadr works. We only have bits of information. And therefore the scholars have given some examples, some explanations how it is possible that Allah has supreme will, yet you also have will. And let me give you some of these examples. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you ability. He gave you the ability to choose, yet He limited your choices A, B, or C. You choose which one you want, but He sets the limits. It's like a multiple choice. You can only choose from the list I've given you. And each path you take, Allah has already put the destination in mind. So you can take any different doors, the destination Allah has put in front of you. You make the choice, but Allah has preordained the destination. That's one example of trying to explain it. The other example, which I enjoy, I say, look at the clothing you wear, you're wearing today. Who chose it? Might be yourself, it might be your wife, it might be your mother. You chose it, and if I ask, why aren't you wearing a snow jacket? You'll say, no, because it's not snowing outside. If it was snowing, I would wear a snow jacket. So you made a choice as what to wear, but you based it on the weather outside. And who controls the weather? Allah. So there you made a choice, a free choice, based on the will of Allah. And this shows you, you have a choice and Allah's decree, and Allah influences your decrees. Allah also mentions in the Quran, فَلَمَّا زَاغُوا أَزَاغَ اللَّهُ قُلُوبَهُمْ, that once they turned away from Allah, Allah turned them further away. So what this means is, when you make a choice, we make a choice for good or for bad, Allah then facilitates us. We make a good choice. I want to go to the masjid, for example, instead of somewhere else. Then Allah puts good things in your path. Things that were not in your control. You meet this brother, oh, I'm looking for a job. Ah, that brother is looking for an employee. You made one positive choice and Allah decreed other good things along that path. Similarly, you make one bad choice, you choose the wrong friend, and if you follow that path further on, more and more mistakes occur. So Allah mentions that you choose, but then He facilitates you in that. Also, many things we realize while we choose, things happen, and we all know this, without our control. Today, we get into an accident. Tomorrow, some rizq came that we didn't anticipate. Things are constantly influencing us from where we can't anticipate. We do our best, yet Allah will always put bumps in the road, put turns in the road where you need to make the choices. Understanding how qada and qadr works, free will and destiny, is not the objective. That's not the point. Allah doesn't expect us to ask, how does this work? The objective is, how do you live by it? And there we have the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So let's take an example. We all say that our rizq, our sustenance, is put out by Allah. Yes? Allah decreed our sustenance. Yet did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sit back and say, Allah provides? We don't have to work? No. Your rizq is put out, but you need to attain it. You need to get to it. That this is measure is for you, you need to attain it. And even though Allah decreed an amount, Allah can even increase it if you make dua and you do certain good things. That your death might be put out. So when you have an illness, you don't say, it doesn't matter whether I take the cure or not. Allah is going to, my death is put out before already. No, you go for the cure. You look at the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You go and you take what we call the asbab. Allah created a pattern in this universe. That if you do A, it will lead you to B. You cannot achieve rizq without working. You cannot succeed in your exam if you don't study. Don't just make dua and say, Ya Allah, grant me to pass, and you don't open the textbook. No. You need to do, You need to do the effort and then put your faith and trust in Allah. So we live our life as if though the matter is in our hands. But we have full knowledge when the results come, when the paycheck comes at the end of the month, when the test comes that, subhanAllah, it's cancer. When the doctors say, there's nothing we can do, but I made my dua, I've done all my precautions, then we make istislam, then we submit. This is the will of Allah. So before the result is known, we put in as much effort and dua as we can, and we never give up. But once the result shows itself that this was the decision of Allah, we say alhamdulillah. For good or for bad. If it's good, we don't say, because of my brilliance, I came first in the class. Said, no, it was the decree of Allah, not my hard work. And if I fail, we say that this is a test, I need to do better. That Allah has put this in my way, I accept it, now I will do better. Now I will go forward. We also, the belief in qada and qadr, what is important, is we don't live in regret. Don't look at past opportunities, past mistakes and say, if only I did this, I did that. The point that you have come today was meant and ordained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your future is set out, but your past is khalas. All we can do is make tawbah for the mistakes. Don't live in regret. Don't live in the constant fear of what mistakes I've made. We are a people not of fear. And we're people of optimism and hope. That even when the doctor says it's impossible, even when the experts say it's impossible, we say impossible for you but not for Allah. That we work to the best of our ability and then we raise our hands in dua and say that in the hands of Allah everything is still possible. That a miracle can happen with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tomorrow, that even though the weatherman says there's no rain, we can make dua and the rain will fall. We believe in these things. This is part of qada and qadr. The point I want to also conclude on is that the night of decree is coming. Allah speaks in the Quran, in Surah Dukhan, that there is a special night where the decrees of Allah are made known. Now what is this? We know we call it Laylatul Qadr. It's not the 15th of Sha'ban, it's Laylatul Qadr. What happens on that night? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed the decrees and written it in Lawh al-Mahfuz before He created us. The angels do not know what the decrees are. So every year the angels get a budget. Angel of death gets a list. These are the names of the arwah you're going to pull. It's given to him on the night of decree. The angel of rain, this is a list of all the lands who will get rain, who won't get rain, who will get flooding. The angel of earthquakes, the angel of rizq. Each and every one of us, our names will be on one of those lists, for good or for bad. But you and I have an opportunity before that night occurs to make dua. That you and I have an opportunity, knowing that Allah is going to put out my rizq, my life, my death, my salvation. Allah is giving us the opportunity to influence that budget with dua. You don't know and I don't know what is decreed. In fact, the last year's budget, last Laylatul Qadr that came, it might be that our names are on the list of Malik al-Maut. We don't know if this Ramadan will get there. But we still have the power of dua. In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, nothing changed the decrees of Allah except dua. So make dua. Whatever you want, think about it. Your budget for the year is going to be put out in the next few days or the next month or so. That night is coming. Whatever you want in your life of good, you raise your hands. Allah can decree it for you. Before He gives it to the angel, He puts it in there. You want that wife, you want that husband, you want those kids. We don't believe the impossibility with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything is possible with Allah through dua. And our job is to remain steadfast. We do our part. Results are with Allah. We do our part, we make dua, and we put our faith in Allah. And when the result comes, for good or for bad, we accept. And that's what it means to be a Muslim. When we look at our society, our situation that we're in, we don't become hopeless. We don't say, well, what's the point? We're so far behind. We're so backwards. What's the point in even trying? No. Point is not the result. The results are with Allah. But the effort is from us. So that Allah can reward us for our efforts. And that night, as I said, of Laylatul Qadr, it could be the first of Ramadan or the last of Ramadan. And if we get that night in dua and ibadat, who knows? Whatever it is that you want, whatever your heart is that it desires, whatever problems in your life can disappear. through dua. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in what remains of Sha'ban, and that Allah grants us to achieve Ramadan, and that Allah only decrees what is best for us on Laylatul Qadr. On that night also, remember, the hadith mentions whoever makes salah, doesn't say the entire night, just two raka'ahs, one raka'ah, with iman, with true iman and belief, and hope with Allah, and you catch Laylatul Qadr, your salah with iman coincides with the night of Laylatul Qadr in Ramadan, the reward is all your past sins are forgiven. So you have this special night, which removes the negativity of the past and opens the doors of the future. One night, it's coming. Doesn't say you make the whole night in salah. Just one or two rak'ahs, 5 minutes of salah with iman and ihtisab, and hope for the reward. غُفِرَ لَكُمْ مَا تَقَدَّمْ مِنَ ذَنْبِكُمْ. All sins are forgiven. So, when we begin this Ramadan, the niyyah begins now. And that every night ensure that you perform at least one or two rak'ahs salah every single night. In that way, you will catch Laylatul Qadr in salah. And strive, and I speak to myself first, to do good every single night. Some nights, yes, we try to make, obviously, taraweeh every single night. But if it's a bit difficult, at least stand two raka'ahs alone and make salah and dua. That night could be Laylatul Qadr. It could be the first of Ramadan or the 30th of Ramadan. Point is, that night which removes the baggage of the past and opens the doors of the future lies ahead of us. The opportunity is with us. So may Allah grant us to seize this opportunity to the best. We make dua for the khair of ourselves, our family, our ummah. May Allah keep this ummah safe. May Allah remove the calamities that we see. May next year be better than this year. May the rain come. May the goodness come. We put our faith in Allah and we are pleased with whatever Allah has decreed. Until the end, we are pleased with you, Allah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.